We are involved all through this month in what we call focusing on missions. And missions is all about putting feet to what we say that we believe and what we understand that the Word is teaching us to do. It's getting into action. And so during this month, Pastor Ben has been leading us in the whole idea of being adopted. We're all, if we belong to Christ, we've been adopted into God's family. And adoption, of course, means that He will never leave us nor forsake us. When you're adopted, there's no disinheriting. You are part of that family from then on. And so there's so many truths involved in that. And little did Catherine and I ever expect or even think about our lives being changed by the whole concept of adoption. But we have absolutely been turned around with the introduction into the Green family of Weston and Sophie and Tate. And so my youngest son, Joel, is here with us today, and he directs physical therapy at OU Medical Center in Oklahoma City. But today, for all of us, he is the father of Weston from Russia and Sophie and Tate from Haiti. And I'd like for you, for the very first time, maybe for many of you, to get to meet my youngest son. Would you just welcome him to the hill? And he's going to come and share his story and teach us from the Word of God. All right?
It is such a pleasure to be here with all you good people. Yeah, there are so many of you. When I look over this audience, like, there's so many faces that I don't know. but I grew up here. Some of the people that are in this audience that I do know, you are the people who pointed me to Christ. This building, this church family, is where is the people God used to point me to Him. And began a work in my life. And so it is absolutely precious for me to be here with y'all today and to be able to participate and to be a part of this whole month where y'all are focusing on adoption and all those kind of things. So you may be wondering, Dad, I think kind of he just alluded to it a little bit. Why does this guy get to talk about adoption? Why does he get to be the one that's tasked with international adoption? What does he have that makes him a credible guy to talk about all this? So my wife and I, we had, I think there's a picture of my family that we'll put up. My wife and I, we have six kids. So yes, we are a big family. There's a huge van out there. That's us. We're in it. And we carry lots of people around all the time. But we had our first three kids. And so that's the older guy in the middle, Brennan. And then the two blonde-headed girls, Liv and Bella, we had them. And so by American standards, we were a big family, three. And so we were pretty good with that number. And God just began to do a work. And my wife and I, we were doing, our church was involved in missions and some other things like that. And through two different paths, I don't know if any of you couples are like this, but the way we exist, I am kind of all gas in our relationship. You know, I'm just like, Florida, you know, pedal to the metal, all gas. My wife is all brake. You know, and so like if it was all gas, I would drive off cliffs all the time without her being a brake in my life. And so, and our adoption story kind of played out the same way. I onboarded quickly to the idea of adoption, and I was like, "I'm all in, let's go." And she was, "Wait." And so she kind of, and God began to work on her in a different way to bring about what He was going to do in our family, and. And so we ended up getting involved. We both knew that we wanted to, we were going to adopt, and that's what God had for us. And we started on the adoption of that little kid in the middle with his head turned to the side. That's Weston. Weston was adopted from Russia. Russia is one of those places that's like, when we started looking at places to adopt, you know, we considered local adoption, we considered all kinds of things, foster care, but God was really pushing us to adopt from an orphanage. We wanted to adopt kids that had been abandoned, and God began to work in our hearts to adopt a kid from Russia. And so there were some kids in our church that were already adopted from Russia. It was just kind of a natural connection like that for us to do. And we went through some adoption agencies that some other people had used in our church. And so we brought Weston home actually 10 years ago, which is phenomenal. Many of you prayed for him and prayed for that adoption. And so we adopted him. We brought him home when he was 15 months old. And so he had been, he was actually abandoned while he was still in the hospital. He was born early. He was abandoned there in the hospital and left, and then was taken to the orphanage right after that. And so the statistics for orphans are pretty dire, pretty crazy, the things that they go through, and like what their projected future looks like. It's pretty dire. And that was the road that he was on, a pretty dire path. And then, so we brought him home. He did well. God taught us so many things through Weston's adoption. And then we began to do some other outreaches. In 2010, there was an earthquake in Haiti. And I'm a physical therapist. And so I got to go be a physical therapist down in Haiti and work with these people that had been affected by the earthquake. And Mia got to go with us, and then we got to go another mission trip, and we did another mission trip, and did another mission trip, just kind of with the ongoing efforts that were going on at that time. There's just a lot of things going on in Haiti around that 2010, 2011. Well, then we started doing some other work with orphanages, and it just began to roll all over again. And pretty soon, here we had been partnered with Tate, and Tate's the one down on the very end. And so we were partnered with Tate. Tate had been abandoned in the same kind of way. He was brought to the orphanage. He left the hospital and went straight to the orphanage, abandoned there at the hospital. And so we were in Haiti and met him when he was 5 days old. And so he was already in an orphanage at that time. So met him, and we got matched with him and began our story with him. And then another little girl entered the orphanage, and her mom had her and several other siblings of hers, and the father had passed away, and she wasn't able to take care of them anymore, and so she was having to abandon some of her children into the orphanage too. And so through several series of events, we actually had to meet these moms and the Haitian moms, and we actually tried to do some reunification with them, with the kids. They just were not at a place where they could take these kids back. And this was God's story for Tate and Sophie to kind of join the Green family here in the United States. So that's kind of our story. And I think, and you know, when you hear all these stories, and I love what Justin and Kayla just shared. Justin, Kayla and I actually graduated with each other from Lufkin High School. And so it's really neat to see kind of what God's doing in their life. And I think I can speak for them in the same way, that the story of adoption is not my story. I get to be a part of it. And it's not a story just about Tate and Sophie either. It's God's story. And so today, I don't want y'all to leave with a thought or some infatuation with the story that I share or with what Kayla and Justin are sharing. The story is about the praiseworthiness and the amazingness of who our God is. And when you hear those stories, you should hear that God is coming after and is an active God and is seeking out to take care of these kids through his people. Those are the things you should hear. And so I'm going to start off with this whole idea of the but God. And so do you know all those verses in the Bible that say, but God? And so that's kind of that's the whole idea of this adoption story. It's like, but God. Here these kids were, this was their situation, but God intervened. And so you get this, but God, eager to display his glory and his grace, intervenes on our behalf. And so here, let me read some but God verses that you can write down. So I'm gonna start in this Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. But God. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons. But God, who is rich in his mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. This is a gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But God intervenes. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would be here this morning. Lord, it's been my desire that this would not be about my story, but Lord, that these people, when they walk out today, would praise you, a God that we sing about, the God that's the way maker, the God that's the light in the darkness. Lord, the God that adopted us as sons and daughters. Lord, may we sing your hallelujah today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to pick up. I'm going to go over this kind of in three parts. So we're going to talk about a Thessalonian example. So we're going to kind of read from Thessalonians and kind of talk about an example that existed there. And then I'm going to kind of talk about this analogy, the adoption analogy that exists naturally in the Bible, and then or that God put there. And then I'm going to talk about why foreign adoption. That's what I'm tasked with today, is talking about international adoption. So why international adoption? So we'll talk about those things. But we're going to start off first with Thessalonians. And so we're going to talk about that Thessalonian example. So turn to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go to chapter 1. So whether you have a device or a Bible, take those out and look that up. This will be the biggest scripture that we read today. So we're going to start in verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because of your faith that is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and afflictions that you're enduring. And then picking up in verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, and you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering, since indeed God ourselves is just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. And then ending with verse 11 and 12, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you should be hearing there, this is Paul talking to the Thessalonians, and he kind of does this setup. So you'll see at the very beginning, he does this setup in verse 3 and 4. There's some setup there, and he's talking about several things he's talking about there, and then he does another setup in verse 5 through 10, and then he ends in verse 11 and 12 with a prayer. So let's kind of go back there and look at those first few things. So let's go back to verse 3. And so the first thing you see is that he's talking about the Thessalonians, and he sees that they are growing in their faith. So that's something we always say here in the church. You know, they're growing in their faith. That's good. What in the world does that mean? What does it mean to be growing in your faith? Well, he was seeing in them like a reliance, a depending on that was happening in the Thessalonians. And he was seeing that was a positive thing that he was seeing in them, is that they were starting to depend on the Lord. And they were growing in that dependence, that reliance on God. And then he jumps to the next thing and he says, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. So he sees this other part of them that they're growing in love. And this love, like he also says, love for all of you. He doesn't say that like some people were loving some people. Everybody was loving everybody. Like think about that. That's the kind of stuff that we are doing. We're growing in faith. We're loving each other. That's what the church people look like. The world doesn't love each other like that. They're not pushed to do that. As they don't reflect Jesus in that way. We do. And like that's the kind of stuff that revivals are made out of, when people start loving each other in this powerful way. And so that's what Paul was seeing in those people. So they were having this growing faith. He was seeing them growing in love for one another, this intense kind of love. And then he was seeing he was seeing that they were steadfast and faithful in their persecutions and their afflictions. Kayla in her video kind of mentioned there just a little bit about just adopting, and like when you do these faith-based things and you're going out and trying to do what God wants you to do, it's not always easy. And living for Christ does incur, like God said, don't be surprised when you encounter persecutions. This is common to us. These are common things to us. Just like it was common in the Thessalonian church, these are things that should be representing us. We should be growing in our faith. We should be loving each other. And we should be faithfully enduring and steadfast in our persecutions and our afflictions. That's what we're made of. And then he goes on to this next part. So 5 through 10 is this whole thing going on. And it's this idea of having the end in mind, living with the end in mind. So what does that mean? We know Jesus is coming back, and we think about that, and we live to that end. So we're doing things to get ready. We know that there will be a judgment day, that we have to be accountable to our sins, that things that people need to hear about God. That's how, and because of that, it makes us not store up treasures here. We're storing up treasures there in heaven. We're making heavenly treasures. And so that verse, it's Matthew 6:20, where it talks about, we don't set up treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy or thieves break in and steal. We have the end in mind, and we're living to that end. That's what Christian people are made up of. We live like that. And that changes our behavior and what we do. And then this next part to me is great. It gets down into getting down into verse 11 and 12. He says, because of all this, because you have been living, because you're loving, you're growing your faith, you're enduring persecutions, and because you're living with the end in mind, then I'm going to pray this for you. So verse 11 and 12, if you want to pray in a powerful way, pray like verse 11 and 12. And so let's see what he says there is like he says that... Let me get in here. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. So I look at calling as being saved, making a statement of salvation, saying that you are going to be a believer and a follower. That's our calling. So when he says make you worthy of being saved, make you worthy of being a follower, like we know we're not worthy to be a follower. Like, so what is Paul saying there? Well, he's not saying that at all, that you need to be worthy in order to be saved. He's saying, because you are saved, live in a manner worthy of that. Like, live up to who you are. It's kind of a weird way that he's encouraging them. It's like, hey, listen, because you are who you are, be that. And to live that way. And so it's a really neat way really neat thing that he's doing. So he's praying. So think about praying that way. When you next time you pray for people, pray that they're worthy of their calling. You know, that they'll live out who they are. And then it kind of goes down into the next part. And it's like, this is another part that I love. He says, he prays, worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. We, as the children of God, we all have desires for faith-based good deeds. Faith-based good deeds. So these miraculous desires for goodness, that is not normal to us. And so like when my wife and I were stirred up to go and adopt, that is not something that happens normally. That's a transformation in who we are as children of God that make us desire these types of things. And if I polled this room, there are probably tons of faith-based good deeds that God is stirring up in each one of you to go and to do these things for people. That's who we are. That's who we are. And what he's praying for is like that those good deeds would come to fruition. What a sweet prayer. Think about praying for your children in that way, or praying for each other in that way, that these desires that you have for faith-based good deeds, that God would bring them to fruition. And so that's it's an amazing thing that he's praying for. And then there at the end, he says, for, and then like, what's it for? He ends with saying, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. So obviously, we always do things for God's glory. Always. Everything we do. The whole point of this sermon today is not that I did anything good, that it's for God's glory, that somebody, that these children were adopted, that what Justin and Kayla did in adopting was for God's glory, that these children were adopted. It's all about him. And we know that God is jealous for his glory. He says he shares it with no one. It's all for him. But that's what's so weird about the second part, is that it says, and you in him, like you're going to share in this glory. Well, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that as transformed people begin to do these faith-based good deeds, we move closer to what we're going to be glorified in heaven. You know, we move closer to that and we begin to be glorified in that way. We are more transformed to look more like him. And in that, he is even more glorified in changing us as people to look more like him. And so it's this ongoing transformation. So what a sweet picture and an amazing way that Paul is praying. And what a reflection that we all should identify with, who we are as people, that we're growing in faith, that we are increasing in love, that we are steadfast and faithful in our persecutions, that we are living up to our call, and that we have a desire for miraculous faith-based good deeds, that those things are natural overflows of us. And then we kind of, and then we move into this next part that's the adoption analogy. And so I just read several verses that talked about being adopted as sons. Like it just exists there. And there's this sweet story of just like that the New Testament builds on this blessing of human adoption by using it as an analogy to describe God's love for us. And so let me just kind of read through some of these, okay? So we were spiritual orphans under the cruel oppression of sin and Satan. So let's kind of identify with where we were. By nature, we are children of wrath, says Ephesians 2:3, among who we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We were children of the devil, John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and our will is to do our father's desires. That was our situation. Do you remember that? Our only home was this sin-cursed world that is fast passing away. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away with all its desires. Guardian was the avowed enemy of our soul. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Our future was the terrifying expectation of hell's judgment. Hebrews 10:27, but our fearful expectation of judgment and the fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. That was our situation. That's where we were. Do you remember that? Do you remember being in that situation? And that's the same, it's a sweet analogy between what my children were when they were in that orphanage. They were on a path of destruction. The numbers for what goes on with orphans is catastrophic. It's horrible. It's horrendous. Like someone needs to intervene on their behalf. Just like we needed someone to intervene on our behalf. We were headed in a horrible direction before God showed up on the scene. But then this is what we get. We become children of God with the blessing. And so this is the first thing, that we should be called children of God. Children of God. We have in a video, just like Justin and Kayla, we have a video where my son is telling these things. And it's my son that's from Russia. And he tells what his name was back in Russia. His name was Pratula Pavel Vitayevich. And so it's like, and so everybody called him Pavel, and they called it, for short, they called him Pasha. And so he'll say that he remembers that name. And then he tells about his new name. The new name that he has. And I don't know how many of you remember your name before you met Jesus. Was it depression? Was it dirty? Was it hopeless? And then God intervened and gave you a new name. And he said that you're now a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. 1 John 3:1. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. And then it talks about we have a home not of this world. Thank goodness. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we so eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:20. And then I love this one, Abba, Father. He went this whole direction of like, it's not just adopting. It's not like he just brought, it's like the same thing with my son. It's not like I just brought my son in and said, hey, stay here. I'm going to take care of you. It wasn't that. It went even another step farther. And it said, I want you to call me Abba Father. And so like my kids call me Daddy. And just to think about that connection to what we have, like this is so, it's so unbelievable. If this doesn't stir up emotion and a thought like, oh my goodness, what I have in God, let it stir you up. Let it stir you. It's an amazing thought. It's an amazing thought that we get to call him Abba Father. And then ending with like, we are loved. For God so loved the world. We all know that one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. What an amazing thing. What an amazing picture. This analogy picture that exists of adoption in the word that we can identify with. We can identify with it. When I see my kids, like it's that constant reminder of what God has done for me. I mean, it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. And then ending, why foreign adoption? Why foreign adoption? Why don't we just adopt here in Lufkin? Why don't we just take care of these kids? Or even Angelina County? Or why not just take care of the ones in Texas? Why do we take care of the kids of the world? Well, there's this little verse. It's Matthew 28:18-19. It's called the Great Commission. It's a great verse. Let's read it real quick. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Our God is not just a God of Lufkin, Texas. Our God is not just a God of Texas. Our God is not just a God of the United States. Our God is a God of the world. He wants his renown to reach every part of the world. He wants all peoples to come to know him. There will be that day when we stand around the throne and we will see all nations of the world around that throne, praising him. That's the God that we serve. That's what he says. Psalms 22:7. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Psalms 117:1, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. We have a God that loves all people. that wants all people to come to him, the whole world to come to him. We don't have a little task. We have a big task. We don't just get to take care of the kids here. We get to take care of the kids in the whole world. It's a God-sized task. And that's the way he likes to do things. And so today, like, in closing, my whole deal was not that today's not a day to leave with this thought of like, man, I feel guilty. I should go adopt a kid. That's not what I'm trying to get to at all. I'm trying to help all of you remember the God that we serve and how amazing he is. And because we as Christian people grow in love, because we're growing in faith and we like to do things that grow our faith, because we endure in persecutions, because we want to live up to our worthy of our calling, because we live with the end in mind, and because God put this amazing adoption analogy in the word that we identify with, and because we serve a global God that wants all people to come to him, it changes our behavior. And so today, like, there are straightforward commands about how we need to take care of orphans. And some of you may take care of an international orphan by adopting them into your family and they taking on your last name. That may be exactly what God is working in you. And I will say that I do feel like that should be things that are a part of this congregation of believers. That should be something that's overflowing here. That should be things that are on our mind. And there should be people that are doing that. But all of us aren't called to that. But we are all called to honor God, to worship him and our faith-based good deeds that he is stirring up in us. So because of all those things, what I end with is John 13:34. And it says, as I have loved, you go and love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I stand up here and I see them and they're my brothers and my sisters. And Lord, you've given us amazing purpose. And you have sought us. And Lord, you have adopted us as your children. Lord, and we get to cry out to you, Father, Daddy. Lord, what an amazing thing. Lord, bring to fruition the faith-based good deeds that you are stirring up inside of us. Lord, may we live worthy of the calling that you have, the salvation that you have provided for us. And Lord, may this all be for your glory. Lord, we love you. Thank you for pursuing us. In Jesus' name, amen.